from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here, and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, Lisa Dadiani. We're going to go ahead and talk with a woman from, she's born in Georgia, you know, of Russian, Georgian, Jewish descent, and now lives in London. She's a founder of Dadiani Fine Art, United Kingdom's first art gallery to accept cryptocurrency for works of art, as well as founder of Dadiani Syndicate, the first in the United Kingdom crypto-economic marketplace where luxury assets and other financial products can be bought via cryptocurrency, as well as the facilitation of international trade. You know, this is, you know, cryptocurrency is making it, you know, it's getting used a lot, and we can transfer into, what happens when you need to get rid of $30 billion, Clinton Foundation dollars? What do? You have John Podesta go buy a bunch of art. Yeah, yeah, that's one way to do it, you know. So then I went, you can do crypto. You can do crypto and get – so this is what we're dealing with. Elisa, good morning. Thanks for coming on the show. I'm sure it's probably afternoon there, but, you know. What time you got there?
It's about 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. So it's not too bad. It's not like calling Japan and it's like midnight. So what we'll go ahead and do is talk about you a little bit and the history of your relationship with crypto. How you know, I know you ask women and they freak out, but how old are you?
29.
So you're in your 20s. So you've got new technology on the mind. Well, tell us about your work in fine art. When you say fine art, you're talking like expensive, right?
Well, yes, I guess fine art is that. It's unreasonable and it's expensive. And it's unregulated, of course.
So, yeah, okay. First thing I want to talk about. If I'm filthy, stinking rich, and I want to put everything, why do they buy all these paintings? Why do they buy these antique cars? Why do they buy? Because they need to put their money somewhere and something other than cash. So they diversify into these different assets that, you know, likely a lot of times the more cash controls you have on countries, the more fine art goes up. It's a light, easy, cheap way to move $100 million, okay? Now, everything's all regulated. They want to see where everything goes. You bought that house. You bought that car. You bought that fine art. Not so much. So that's why I brought that up. The Clinton Foundation, they had $30 billion laying around, and they didn't want the FBI and Donald Trump come get it. So they got John Podesta out there taking this gazillions of dollars and doing what with it? He's buying fine art so that because it's unregulated. Describe that for us, will you, Lisa?
Well, I think, first of all, there's a layer of people that don't necessarily, where normal economy and normal law do not apply. So I don't think the Clintons have a problem with it anyway. They tend to have a way of moving money with Podesta or without. So, you know, this is, I think the problem we're having right now is that, you know, people talk about money laundering and all that kind of stuff with cryptocurrency. First of all, you know, we got to be clear about what the law is and who it applies to. And so far, you know, it only, from what I have seen, it only applies to us, you know, regular earthlings. It doesn't apply to anybody above a certain level of power. So for me, art, this is, first of all, that's not really why I got into art. I got into art because it's a family thing. My father is an art dealer. He's a collector. For me, it was a natural step. However, it's not my background. I mean, I've done everything from sell fake watches to fake this to fake that. You know, I have a very diverse background, let's put it that way. And I'm not exactly schooled, so I didn't go to school. I did go to school, but I didn't really go to it, so I didn't really get anything out. I don't have a specialty or knowledge that is in a certain basket. So I put myself around, and the gallery was more accidental than anything. And then that in itself has opened many doors, including what brought me to you, or you to me, which is the cryptocurrency tongue. You know, we're about to uncave.
Yeah, Elisa, say your last name for me. Dadiani, am I saying it right?
Dadiani, yes, Dadiani.
Yeah, I got yes. Dadiani, man. Ooh, kind of a little Italian going in there. Okay, now how we know Elisa is she's going to be one of the speakers at the Nexus Earth Conference in Aspen, September 21st to the 23rd. And we're really looking forward to that. And they, you know, they brought in some of the, you know, the most interesting top from long time ago to now, but with this common theme of none of your business, or it doesn't matter, or we're not looking for a permission slip, or it's just an attitude of decentralization of everything. And talking to Elisa, already we know that she's like, yeah, you know, blue pages or the white pages of the government department, if I get a permission to do, not so much, okay? And, you know, but in this particular field, it provides the economic outlet for a lot of people to move a lot of money around the world. Is it used that way?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep, that stamp. They just love collecting stamps. Is that it? No.
Well, I think what we've got is a layer of economy that is lawless. So, of course, when you've got something that does not succumb to common law, then you're going to have possibilities with it. And whether it's, you know, it's not something that, it's becoming more and more difficult, put it that way, from what I read, from more and more people being brought down globally, especially in the U.S. I mean, you guys got a problem there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is tragic.
No, it's IRS kind of, no, it's our money, and you're just lucky we let you have some. I mean, you know,
exactly.
It's just an attitude. See, this one thing, I'm glad you brought this up. This is a really unique opportunity for us because I don't think a lot of people have an understanding. Like you say, wealthy people, monarchs, captains of industry, dictators, government, you know, the crown. I mean, they're all the same as far as I'm concerned. These people, they don't have the same laws that we operate under. They need to move something. They just, you know, they buy some art. You know, they take, you know, it's an envelope of, I got a, you know, the $30 million stamp or a coin or something. You know, this is how they transfer wealth around or retain it, hold it, ship it, transfer it. And you would go, yeah, okay, yeah, so what? Well, that particular fine art category is unregulated. You know, they kept that one for themselves. Explain that to us. Well, how is it in the law?
Well, there's, first of all, how do you regulate it? When something has such abstract values, and this value can never be proven or determined. I mean, there's a general guidance, but you know, we're talking about currencies on canvas, and these are, you know, when you've got no reason for anything to be so expensive, then how do you regulate these things? First of all, I think when you've got, you know, everybody's liable for tax, but there's only a select group of people who's got access to the kind of money they can buy 200 million pound painting or sculpture. You know, this is not common. And so it's some industries, they don't want to regulate it for the reasons you've outlined. But two, I think it's just generally difficult. So it's not...
I tell you, it's not that difficult to go, you sold it for how much? This is our cut. Give me. I mean, you know, it's all about they wanting their cut. But this is, we're in a whole different class of people. And Alisa knows who they are, and they might have some crypto, and they want to get it into the legacy system or out of the legacy system into some crypto. And who's buying? I want to know which way the flow is going. I go, trade you this painting for crypto. I want some crypto. Let's find out. From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will. So pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com. Are we in the right mindset here? So this is our second letter of Mark. You go to piratswithoutborders.com. This is a lot of what I'm going to be discussing at Nexus. And I've been covering cryptocurrency since the beginning, like 09, 10. I mean, 10,000 Bitcoin pizzas and stuff. And what happened was, as it progressed, you could see that all of the features they promised started dropping away. No, it's not really anonymous. Well, the microtransaction fees, well, they're not really that cheap anymore. Well, the speed, well, they're not as fast being confirmed. I mean, everything that they promised me, the anonymity, all that, just kind of evaporated into, you know, GoldmanSucks.gov coin or something. So where is the other? Well, then we start getting other cryptos. Eric Voorhees does Shapeshift out of Switzerland. All of a sudden, that opens up a lot of things, and we have these features. So what we did is we're tired of waiting, so we took this idea of decentralization of everything as a pirate and defined, and we just did the second letter of Mark, you know, for the Nexus conference, is that we have these features that we just discussed. And I'm wondering, do you have a favorite currency? Are you looking at, you know, something that is, you know, yeah, these features? And is Bitcoin useful in this kind of area, or is it a threat? You know, are they tracking it too much? What others would you use? Tumblr, you know, you understand my question? We can go into the next segment with?
I think Bitcoin is not my favorite.
Okay. We'll save it for the show, but I just wanted to give you an idea where I wanted to go in this next segment,
yeah.
Okay?
No, of course.
Yeah, this is, and this is a very unique opportunity that I was thinking. I go, well, I'm wondering what they're doing with moving to large sums like they would with the art thing, and then you came across, I'm going, hell yeah. Yep, Lisa's going to explain it to us. So the people that deal in these high sums of money, you know, private individuals that are, you know, for whatever freaking reason, I don't care, moving stuff around. Are they aware of crypto? Is that something that's really becoming, you know, a thing? Are they talking to you about the crypto more than the art? Is it they in competition with each other?
Some are. This is not like a. It's still pretty secular.
Well, are they in competition with each other? Fine art and crypto. I mean, you know,
No. They go hand in hand. They absolutely go hand in hand together. I just don't understand why it hasn't been implemented to a certain degree. I think it's just been done loosely.
We're coming back. Let's talk about it on air. Here we go.
Reasonsfilm.com.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Child,
Teresa Dadiani. I got it. Now, am I doing it with, is that, you know, a Russian, Georgian kind of accent? Am I getting a little Italian in there? What's Dadiani from?
Dadiani is Georgian. It does sound a bit Italian, but then again, Georgia is a confluence of many, many bloods. So we can put it down to anything you want.
Yeah, as long as it's Dadiani. Well, I just gotta like say it. It sounds good. Sounds good. Okay. Now the we were talking off air a little bit. I was like, what we want to talk about this segment, and it's unique that we get to have this view from a young woman in her 20s still. That her father's in fine art. She grew up in it. She knows. She paid attention. She gets it. And there's a lot of people with a lot of resources that need to move them around. Well, they've been using fine art to do that by, you know, how do you lug around a pallet of cash on the airport of kind of when you can, you know, put in your wallet, a coin, a stamp, a piece of the art of something or cryptocurrency, you know, and you can move around a lot of stuff. So, are they in competition with each other? But you were saying they're kind of got a symbiotic relationship. They're starting to work together. How is that? Explain that to us.
Well, for example, how do you buy a 200 million painting from China if you do not have a bank account or cannot get your assets out of China? If you cannot get your money out of China, how are you going to buy it? So you're going to use cryptos. For me, it's kind of like a symbiotic non-brainer. So, you know, sometimes moving money is difficult, which is partly why the syndicate was created, whereby, I mean, I shouldn't really say it like that, but it's not for laundering money. It's just simply to give people an ease of to democratize trade, to transact with ease, to have borderless trade. And this is not just with art. I mean, how do you move money out of a country that prohibits that? So you're going to do it through crypto, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm thinking crypto comes to the rescue on a bunch of stuff, but people with this kind of money, they're not just going to do it willy-nilly. They're going to hire some, you know, kid to go out and report on and tell them, explain and how and what's the risk of whatever, and they're going to Bitcoin. They're going, maybe not so much. You know, this is not like our favorite. It's way too surveillable. And so does that issue come into your clients?
Well, you know what, I'm very careful, you know, because I have a business that is, we have a good reputation where we are. I'm in the central of Mayfair. We've had endless publications about our gallery, media. So, you know, media got a lot of, we had a lot of attention since we announced that we're accepting crypto. So the gallery is in a position where I can't really put a foot wrong. We've got eyes on us. So we have to make sure we do things right. I have to make sure I know the people who I deal with. So the people I deal with so far through art, there hasn't really been that much of a demand to do it through cryptos. We've sold a few pieces since we made that announcement, but they're minor pieces. We're not talking millions. So far, my experience hasn't come from within art. But on a more intuitive level, I've created that syndicate, and fine art comes under it. So through the syndicate, I have access to the works that, for example, I didn't have consigned to me before. I work with other dealerships who have Chagalls and Picassos and all the rest of it that we're talking millions here. So that's a little bit different because here it's not just fine art that people need to, that people use to move money to and fro. They use many assets. And in fact, fine art can be highly liquid depending on what you buy. So it's not that easy. It's not that simple. It's just a store of wealth. That's all.
So crypto would be that. If that's their main function, is not looking at. I got it. It's like Tony Stark in Iron Man. He goes, buy it. Got to have it. Buy it. Store it. I mean, so why'd he buy it if he's not going to look at it? Well, it's not for looking at. You know. So it's a store of wealth. So I would think crypto, if it lived up to its promise, would be a really, this is a good place for, okay, let's put it this way. If I want to have access to, I've seen this happen, we've done stories on this, to where you go to these retirement communities in Arizona and Las Vegas and so on, and they have the receptionist, you know, that comes in and you buy the development and they get to know who you are and they have you on their list and they see, oh, you start getting dementia, you start getting older, you start, then they have all these other services because they know who you are. They say, yeah, over there, they need help with this, they need this, a power of attorney, they need some kind of, and you, a lot of times they get ripped off, but you know, they know who they are. Well, in the fine art area, you have all these people come in. You know who they are. You know what their needs are. You know what they go, hey, you ever heard of crypto? So it's like a marketing position for these people that are looking for the features of Bitcoin in using fine art. You're going, look, man, you can save yourself a lot of hassle if you just use this crypto over here. Does that happen?
Well, you know, this is the ligament that I'm trying to form. You know, there's a lot of education happening right now. People hear of crypto, but they need to, part of my service is to consult and advise and guide through the process of actually buying, because it makes life much easier. But a lot of, there's a massive element of education right now. People don't really put the two together. Some do, but I have had the wonderful misfortune of coming across more money who are cash rich and they just don't know what to do with it. And you have to guide them through the process. Sometimes it's feasible, sometimes it's not. But it's just one of these things, you know, people are just waking up to it. And one thing we've got is the world of the blockchain, which is developing at an astronomical rate, as you may well know, as you know, and then you've got the old world trade businesses such as mine that are equally as insular, but they do not form, you know, the two have not formed a ligament between the two. There's not enough user cases, as we know, and this is something we're trying to form, you know, but it does take a lot of education.
Well, there's a market. I mean, when you made this announcement, why? I mean, was it, you know, what did your family say? Your father, are you independent of your father? You have your own gallery now, or are you working with him?
Yeah. No. It's a completely different gallery.
Okay, so you didn't have to ask anybody permission. So how did you know about crypto, and how long ago did it come clear to you that these should be together, or at least services offered? How did that happen?
Well, a few years ago, I came across it. I came across it through a certain mention, and then I did a little look into it, and it just didn't. I just didn't get it. Then I left it for another year or two, and then somebody else that I knew came up to me, and they were actually involved with the blockchain, and then they kept talking to me about art and this and that, and I just thought, what the hell are these people talking? So anyway, so then came a time that intuitively I felt I had to seriously dive into it. So that's when I started just doing my research, and it all became clear.
Okay, when was this? How long ago?
This was less than a year ago.
Okay, so it didn't take long. It's like, oh, I get it.
I got it instantly. I just got it, and it became mine. I got it so much that I became jealous over it.
Oh,
I knew it was mine.
yeah, absolutely. We'll be right back.
There is no such thing.
Okay, this is an interesting story, and it's just a data point in a worldwide, here it comes. And you can see from, you know, a voluntarist, leave me aloneist, anarchist, libertarian, you know, freaking individual, I've just had enough of the crown. And this technology becomes available to just cut them out of every deal. That was the one thing they want to know every single transaction down to bubblegum. And I'm going, then they get their cut. I'm like, this is so unsustainable, and I'm kind of surprised it's gone on as long as it has. Well, it really hasn't for they, them, those that won't leave us alone. You know, I kind of categorize it for the audience. I go, there are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone, okay? And those people, they want to be left alone too. Being surveilled and taxed and everything, that's for all you little people, okay? Well, these guys, they're up here in their own economic strata, you know, slinging around. When you buy and sell paintings, When they say unregulated, I mean, of course, I don't know how you regulate it, but are they taxing that? I mean, this value transfer, is there somewhere you're supposed to file how much money you made on a painting, or is that excluded?
Well, yeah, I mean, tax, no, of course, but tax, we do pay tax. That's not something you can get away from. So long as you're dealing with fiat, regardless of which way it comes out from, whether you're converting crypto into fiat or whether you're just dealing fiat, you're going to be liable for tax. That you cannot hide, unless it's just cash. And the thing is, cash is a problem for everybody. Everybody wants to get out of cash. Everybody's cash rich. You know, I've got so many clients knocking on my door saying, "Here, I've got 8 million sitting in cash. Can you put me into something?" I'm like, "Fuck off." You know, this is not, nobody wants to deal with this. And this is a problem, but if anything is electronic and it's fiat, you're going to pay tax on it. You'd be stupid not to, because this is not the kind of attention you want. But then if you want to be, you know, and the same with cryptos. If you're making your conversions into anything tangible, into anything real, into anything that is relative to our economy as we know it, you're going to pay tax. You're going to be liable to some degree. And I think that liability is a great distraction anyway. Because you don't want to, it's not a problem. Listen, for me, the most important thing is to open borders. I deal with the BRICS nations. I deal with BRICS. And for me, if I can create an outfit, an economy layer that will facilitate trade between these nation states, then this is what I want. This is what I'm trying to do. So it doesn't matter if I have to pay tax on anything, as long as I can open those borders, because
okay,
so far
the taxing is not your goal, it's the opening of trade.
Absolutely. I don't mind having to relent a piece of my profits. This is not a problem, so it shouldn't be anybody's problem. What, you know, the main problem is actually facilitating, you know, the richest countries are always sanctioned. What you want to do is tap into those countries whilst you're here. I'm here in the UK. All of my assets are in the UK. I'm bringing money into the UK so that they put the money into their, because everybody wants to get the money into UK. It's a safe store of wealth. And I want, you know, and facilitating that through this hyper layer of economy is very, very interesting. It makes a lot of sense. I'm not trying
to
evade any
kind of tax.
Are you
going to be reporting, you know, on the IRS form, and the profit I made from the crypto transaction goes here, or is this give you an opportunity to just, you know, none your business, or is that because see, I can see the people that you have. You have a target-rich environment of people that need to understand this technology. All right, hold on. Here we go. No.
And now live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
You know, Alina Dadiani and her fine art business in the United Kingdom. What is what's your business called, Alina?
Alisa, I'm sorry,
Alisa.
That's all right. I get that often. It's Dadiani Fine Art is my gallery and my the marketplace that we've just yet to launch in a week or so is Dadiani Syndicate.
Okay, Dadiani, you just went right, skip to the end, man. You just went 007 villain and just you're the syndicate. Okay, so the syndicate, you know, is a syndicate of what? I mean, what are you trying to portray yourselves at?
Well, it's just a network of dealerships. It's a network of people who have product, who have demand, who have access to any product anybody would want. So I've got it. So this whole network is, you know, we're selling everything.
You're Alibaba
for crypto. Not quite, but we've got hypercars, Crown Estate properties, bullion, diamonds, bloodstock. You know, we're doing things that no, you know, we're providing a use case on a scale never really provided before, you know, for crypto, because all of our assets are 1 million+. So we're not, you know, we're not messing around here.
Okay, so anything, you got something worth $1 million that you need to kind of, you know, you call Lisa, because, you know, she's ready to syndicate you, all right? So let's go ahead and talk about the use of crypto in this. You know, if you're dealing in items such as this. It's always, how do you make the transfer? How do you do the escrow? Who handles the, you know, so you're looking for multi-sig contracts or something? Are you in Ethereumizing? Are you creating your own currency? How are you doing this?
Well, we're in the process of doing that as well. But for now, to simplify matters, I just work with an FCA-regulated exchange who does everything for me. So they handle all of our money transactions. And the reason they have FCA-regulated is because they deal with mainly fiat and other exotic currencies, and crypto is just part of their product.
Wow, so crypto is just becoming one of the products.
Exactly. So this is why, for me, it makes life much easier not to handle money at this stage whilst I'm still learning the process and looking for the best ways of doing it. You know, we're probably going to be using BitPay and, you know, things like that later on. And we are, you know, we're doing a lot with this project. It's multifunctional, and its basic function is to sell assets for crypto, you know, luxury assets for cryptocurrencies. But that's not where it ends. You know, there's other financial products that we're offering through it, and ultimately we will be launching our own syndicate token.
Okay, now wait. Okay, see, I can see where this goes. To do this, you need a team, and you have the resources. You're like, hey, man, I'm dealing in millions here. You know, we got a little something. We can throw, you know, a couple hundred thou over and kind of make it happen. And you have what? You know, there's a bunch of 13 to 23-year-old guys eating Skittles and drinking, you know, power drinks in the basement of doing all this stuff for you. Or like you're saying, there's already companies that have started this.
Well, there is first of all companies that have started this. My background is not in tech. I'm not a computer programmer. I'm an adoptee. So you know, for me, I'm trying to find the simplest way possible to combine the old world trade with this, with the world of blockchain. And I'm turning to whoever I feel has the knowledge, the assets, and the efficiency to put this, you know, to implement this vision. So far, it's pretty sort of, you know, we don't have that many people involved. I mean, this is in terms of...
But you have the people you need involved?
Yeah, of course.
The right computer geek?
Yes, we do.
Okay, but now this, the one thing I wanted to make sure we got, what you talked about in the break, is that you're wanting to open up trade. There's all these trade restrictions and sanctions on, you know, we don't like Russia this week, or it's Ukraine, or it's a Crimea, or it's, you know, I mean, all of this is where you're from. You speak Russian, or I would imagine, or Georgian, or, you know, you have these people, these markets available to go. And you're like trying to what? Bring them together, put them on, you know, a cryptocurrency worldwide of none your business in all the other countries. I mean, what's your goal here?
My goal is to democratize trade. You know, this is not, we talked about tax before and all that stuff. That doesn't, you know, I'm not concerned. Of course, I pay my tax. I'm not trying to evade that. What I'm trying to do is open trade for those countries that, as you mentioned, are constantly being either sanctioned or whatnot. You know, the superpowers are moving eastwards, westwards to eastwards. So all the power is moving eastwards. And if we block those countries in any way, then we're doing ourselves a massive disfavor. So what I want to do is just democratize trade. I target the BRICS nations, and this is what I work with.
Okay, Brazil, you know, we're trying to create Russia, India,
China,
South Africa. And exactly. why the BRICS? Because of their economic system coming up? Because of their saying
because they're powerful.
Okay,
they're powerful. These are superpowers. These are economic superpowers. The dollar is defunct. The euro is a joke. And, you know, we've got problems. We're in a recession, like it or not. And you know, this longest running sitcom on YouTube about the forthcoming economic collapse. You know, this, I'm a believer in these things. You know, I'm a believer in that, and I think that we need a buffer. We certainly need a buffer. We need a system that can transcend the current limitations and allows for people to transact with each other without having to, of course, ask permission, but at the same time, we're all tax-paying individuals.
I don't know. You sound like a pirate to me. That's good. See, this is the one thing we're making. If you're against all crowns, You know, if you're, you know, against, you know, the state, if you're wanting to just be left alone and free, that makes you a pirate. Pirates weren't whether you went and raped and pillaged. As long as you did it in the name of one crown, you're perfectly fine to go take that Spanish galleon as long as the King of England got a cut. You know, it's when you are against all of them and you want to have your own. Boom. Pirate. You're not allowed to do that. So I'm wondering what kind of pressure you're getting, you know, once you started announcing this in the United Kingdom and say, hey, we're crypto, fine art, and doing boom, man, they closed the loop, damn it. So I'm wondering if the man came and visited you and tried to explain it to you, or if you're negotiating with the government, you're like, hey, man, we're being upfront and aboard, we're paying our taxes. I'm wondering what kind of relationship you have with governments after you made this announcement.
Well, you know what? UK, surprisingly, is very supportive of blockchain innovation. And they had this the same stance on regulations since 2014. Nothing's changed. They're still talking about the UK government is looking into introducing anti-money laundering, is looking into doing this, is looking into doing that. So for us, that's, you know, it's sort of, they're letting us run with it, but there's a reason for it. Like I said, I hold a sensitive position because I understand that this has to be played very carefully, and I don't want to trespass or create any trouble for myself. I'm simply experimenting with new possibilities that have been opened up by these technological advances. And here, this is the only way that true global trade can open, is when we transcend nationalism.
Yeah, but you're assuming that they want free open trade with human beings seen as individuals. You're thinking you're thinking that's what the governments want. They don't want
No, I'm not saying that at all, but actually you'd be surprised, because UK is in a lot of trouble since Brexit. And by having, you know, this is the perfect time to do a thing like that. And you would be surprised, because we need international help. We need money pouring into our economy here. And this is a perfect model, because I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. And in fact, we're not doing this on the private sector, you know, on the private level. We're looking into corporate sectors. We're looking into mining. We're looking into even forming alliances with certain sort of agreements or bonds with certain government alliances.
You're an agent of the man. They need Elisa to help them. Elisa, help us get into the new economy, or we're going to be an island out here and poor because we're out of the euro. I see. So now you're an asset to the man. All right. I get it. Well, yeah, you mean, all right. Here we go. This is, and you guys got to listen to it first. Elisa Dadiani Fine Art.
Yeah.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary, I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Hi, I'm Derek.
Yeah, PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Oh, definitely, you dig that. You know, our whole thing is the promotion of decentralization of everything. And I can see that I did not anticipate it going this quickly into things like fine art. I don't know why I wouldn't think that would happen. I was just waiting on Elisa. Okay, so here come Elisa, and gonna take care of business for us. And but the thing that I didn't anticipate is when you said that the United Kingdom has some, you know, less volume. They got some trade restrictions. I know the European Union is pissed off, you know, with Brexit and so on. And assuming that ever happens, you have a separation there. Cryptocurrency all of a sudden greases a skid for for commerce. And this is what the British Empire was always known for. That was the point. That's why, you know, pound sterling, you know, sound is a pound kind of thing. Well, it ain't the pound not so sound anymore. So if they can have a cryptocurrency and let it go and get out of the freaking way, I can see an enormous amount of flow going in and out of the United Kingdom in this developing world that you have a direct access to from Eastern Europe. So I'm going, I see the symbiotic relationship here. This is a movie, man. I can already see this coming, you know. So I'm looking at, do they see it? The bankers are, because if you're dealing in fine art, you're dealing with the boys making the decision to sitting in Parliament kind of crap. So I'm wondering, you know, a little private, and we're recording in the break here, so just FYI. But, I mean, you know, I just want to know that the these people, are they going, Elisa, man, we're seeing the future too. Is there a younger group coming in? Are there the ministers, aides? Are they the one? I mean, you know, how much have you penetrated into the financial infrastructure of the United Kingdom?
Well, we're still penetrating the very outer layers, and I think there's a long way to go. But it's a highly progressive industry. It's very progressive once you start on this path. You know, I don't think we're nowhere near the threat level. You know, we're nowhere near creating problems or receiving any problems.
No, I'm wondering if they see it as a solution to the problems. I mean, at some point, the governments are going to have to go.
It's got to be proven.
Yeah.
It's got to be proven. There has to be case studies. They have to see that taxes are paid and, you know, and no one's trying to evade anything. And then they'll see it as a, possibly as an asset as, rather than a threat.
I don't know. Bitcoin's getting to the point, the anal probe, man. I mean, we know everything, where you are all the time and how and there and where's my cut. You know, that's where this is going, you know. And
well,
the
it's
alternative...
important.
All right, we're coming back, and I want to talk about the interface with the banks and the alternative cryptos. We'll be right back.
At LRN.FM.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, money for nothing. Well, transfer of wealth at least. This is the promise. This is the promise. Hey, we can do anything in secret and hundreds of millions, and the blockchain recognizes your, you know, your Starbucks latte, and this $10 million contract, same, done no difference and done. But of course, when you're buying your latte and it costs $1.70 to do it, and I'm going, not so much. But when you're dealing with lots of money, you know, a couple of bucks that make the transaction, that's okay. You know, but I'm looking for, you know, pirate money down to the, I get to buy my bubble gum. Okay. No transact. I mean, itty bitty little pennies. Well, we're working on that. While we're working on that, you know, high finance and high fine art. And they're saying, you know what? Who are we going to talk to? Elisa Dadiani. And she wants to open up Eastern Europe and, you know, get past all these sanctions and be able to just do the flow of trade. And I'm wondering if crypto is going to make it easier for them to stop it, control it, tax it, regulate it, or does it open up all kinds of stuff? Well, that brings in alternative currencies and cryptos. So let's, Elisa, tell us about that. You have a favorite? You got a standard you're looking for? Is there some other alternative currencies? Heck, you're talking about you'll just create your freaking own, which is, you know, join the other thousands. You do these kinds of features. There are our Captain Mark, second letter of Captain Mark, features of damn it, it better be that you do that. You're my new crypto. Okay, so this is, what are the features you're looking for, and what other alternative currencies are your favorite?
You know, for me, I play a dual role here. First of all, as we discussed earlier, for the transactions, for the larger transactions, I use an external body. I don't deal with hefty sums going through. So I deal with an FCA regulated exchange. They do it all for me. But for me, as a trader, as an investor in crypto, there are a few that I have been watching, and they're not necessarily the coins that I am currently, or I've had the experience of accepting for trade. But I very much like things that, because obviously when we look at coins, we look at their technologies, we look at what these things are promising. So it's not just their market position or their market value, because, you know, some of these coins are way down the line that I'm watching and I've been watching for a while, and they make a lot of sense to me, or they're interesting to me to continue watching.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, sister. I tell you, I started about a few months ago. I went in with just like $1,000 in Bitcoin, and I went on exchange, and I selected all the ones I went by philosophy, these promises, the technical abilities that they have to obfuscate, to this, to that, to whatever. You know, lower transaction fees, it's more cash, it wipes, you know. I went in, invested, and all of a sudden, boom! That was the best money market fund of whatever, and selection of that. That's the ones that went. And I'm seeing that there is a market for this. Are you going to be one of those current? Are you looking to emulate one of these or the features that you and your clients need? Is that, you know, are you setting your own criteria?
I think the reason for my sort of behind my personal sort of watch is, you know, these are separate reasons to how I trade through my existing platforms. So when I look for certain currencies, I look for I just look at their function. I look at what's sexy. I look at what's exciting. And for me, I'm quite a basic trader like that. I look at the technology and I think, you know, I think this is something that will last. This is something that will keep. You know, I'm not a great believer in Bitcoin. I think there's a lot of, you know, the white paper does not permit for certain changes to be made for it. And so if we have to stick to it whilst all these other technologies are coming through with these additional features, and they're all coming out on the back of Bitcoin, on the back of Bitcoin's era. So there's so much that is out there that is much more promising to me than the king of them all. So I think Bitcoin is traded just because of its kind of...
first to market?
Yes, first of all, it's that, and then it's a lot of, you know, there's been so much hype that people are no longer trading it or buying it for its use, for its technology, but just simply because it's Bitcoin. So I think in that respect, I like Monero. I like BitShares. There's a lot of coins that I think are much more functionable and much more secure than Bitcoin promises to be.
You're not alone, Elisa. This has been, I've been tracking it. Of course, Bitcoin starts out as 100% of the market, and then just a year or so ago, it was 70%, and now it's down to like 30, 20 something percent, or, you know, and it's going down. I had, you know, Roger Veers on the show often, Eric Voorhees, Rasa from Mycelium, all the guys, you know, Tone Vase and Roger Veer last few weeks have been just going at it, you know, on the show about, you know, Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash and Ouch Quit It. And God, so I'm just like, you know, I where are these features I was promised? Well, someday, and we kind of sort of and almost, and we'll get that. I'm going, look, Bitcoin's breaking the promise. You know, they from the beginning, they went to the Liberty community here, and they were hammering on, you know, how great and wonderful this technology is for all the reasons you and I see. But all those promises started to erode away. And I'm going, but so new technology or different cryptos have come up.
I lost you.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, there these new cryptos that are coming up, all of a sudden, you see an opening for you to create your own. Why? What is it you want to add to it that's not available?
Well, I think, are you there?
Yeah.
It keeps cutting out.
It's a Skype thing. Let me just disconnect. And
hello?
Hold on, we'll just call you right back.
Hello?
I'm going to call you right back. Yeah, we'll get her right back. I don't want to miss the last even couple minutes with her. Oh, but the man doesn't want us to. Are you there? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Not as clear as last time, but I can hear you. All right. I heard your question. I just never had the chance to answer
that. Yeah, please go. Yeah, it's just the man doesn't want to hear what you have to say. I just know it. All right, go ahead. Your crypto is going to fill what niche?
I think it's not about certain, it's not necessarily about certain features we're going to bring. It's an identity. I think it's a tradable identity, and that's just as important. I don't think our features are going to, if you look at all of these coins like Litecoin, or, you know, a lot of them are just no different to Bitcoin. It's the same technology, it's the same code word almost, but it's more about identity and just a slight augmentation, a slight representation of a certain overall feature. Like, for example, a syndicate is going to be representative of an economy, of a crypto economy. For me, it's not about individual tokens. It's not about the technology so much. It's about crypto economy.
When you mean identity, do you mean the anonymity, you know, the privacy of your identity, or you mean the identity of the coin itself as just a marketing thing? I mean, what are you talking about?
Everything.
Yeah. I mean,
the identity. When you have a business, a token to me is first of all a brand as well. And like we're seeing with Bitcoin, Bitcoin has become a brand rather than a very highly functional technology. It's not.
Yep.
It's a brand, and this is and that brand, you know, the same as you would pay, I don't know, $100 for a good pair of shoes and $10 for a crap pair of shoes. And the same, this is why Bitcoin is, you know, been driven by the Chinese to where it is today, because it's a brand. Even in the crypto world, we have that, and people fall to that. People believe it, and then this is when you know we have this sort of supposed bubble situation. Although I don't believe in bubbles in the crypto world, because to me, bubble is a result of a debt-based economy. I don't think it's anything to do with, you know, we have not had parallels with this kind of economy, so we cannot talk about bubbles now. We have so many of them. So these are not bubbles, but entry levels, new entry levels. That's all they are. But with regards to our thing, I want to create a crypto identity for what I'm doing.
A crypto
identity.
And that's
all it is.
And that
exactly.
Crypto identity is going to have features. It's going to have traits. It's going to fulfill the promise that these guys keep making me. Are you going to be a promise filler?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it's got to work. You know, this is. I'm looking forward to meeting you at Nexus Earth. I think this is fascinating, and I really want to hear your presentation on these, without me interrupting you, you know, is that you're talking about creating an economy that bypasses the crown. You know, I'm wondering how much they want to get by. As long as they get their cut, maybe they'll leave you alone. So I'm interested. This is going to be fun. And man, we just skipped right to the top and the fine art area, dealing in tens, if not hundreds of millions. Lisa's got it blazed trail for us. Thank you. Live, there we
Thank
go.
Thank you so much.
Okay, this is, I don't know if I'll be doing the show live. I was thinking about bringing my rig up to Aspen. If I do, you know, I'd like to tap you. It'd be in the morning on Thursday or Friday. But this is a very interesting dynamic. How did they get hold of you? How did you become part of the Nexus grouping from UK?
I think it was it came off the back end of some of the press we've had, because we had BBC, we had all of these major publications in the UK come and film the gallery and talk to me about, you know, us accepting cryptos. And I think it was such a boring thing to keep talking about. It was just a natural progression, because I don't tend to sort of hang around in one place for too long. So as soon as I see an opportunity, I look for a lubricant.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I'm there. And this is how my mind, I guess, works. I'm open to understanding systems, understanding how things work. And even though I do not have a background in anything other than selling fake watches, I am, you know, for me, it's really about, I understand how life works. I understand how our systems work. And I need to create a way in there that is acceptable for people. Because we are in a big, big mess, you know, and I think we're all kind of, you know, we're all trying to do something similar. And this is why for us, the blockchain is the way to do it. And we're just still finding our feet in it. So it's just kind of, I don't know, it's a guttural thing.
Yeah, no, I see this. I'm just wondering, you know, what your perspective is on your opposition. See, to my mindset, it's a philosophy of they, them, those who won't leave me alone that think they have they take my money because they can. I mean, it's not any more complicated than that. We pulled Excalibur from the rock, and therefore your money is ours now. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, this craziness. And when you're doing exactly the way you're describing what you want to accomplish, they're going to be supportive for you to create it, and then they're going to want to be able to take a cut off of it. And that awareness, that's going to be interesting to watch develop, because I've seen it happen in the crypto space, certainly with Bitcoin. That's why. So when they did the fork here recently, I'm going, okay, which one of you know Segwit? You know, Bitcoin's dead. Bitcoin's gone. It's not there anymore. Now we got Segwit and we got Bitcoin Cash. So I'm going, okay, you know, which one is the one that wants to be all compliant with the man and which one doesn't? If you both do or both don't, I need to know. You know, which one's going to be my, and on my IRS form I got, you know, and we're keeping track of whatever, and which one's the one that's going to be adding on your business? So I'm looking for that crypto. Well, both of them, I think they're just worried more about transaction fees, you know, and the block size and all the, you know, and I'm going, where is the promise you guys made for years with me to support this, that you were promising me this, and this? And not so much. It's better than, but it's still tied in too. And I'm going, no. What I got to do? Start buying paintings for $100 million? Is that, you know, I got to go in there? You know, so and then you start to hear the fine art community starting to go crypto and creating your own syndicate and creating your own crypto and opening up Eastern Europe. I'm going, yep, this is exactly what I believe they feared. So I'm here it comes. I'm like, I won't be all pirate. You know, with really expensive paintings on my pirate ship and crypto.